important to them.
Amen.
As our world is to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for another Sunday. Which God has spared our life. And I want to say here that we are so happy to be alive. It could have been the other way.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody else happy to be here.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen. This word from the Lord, the word has been read. And today we want to begin a series of studies, some messages. And it's going to be centering around a very interesting topic, one that I'm certain has crossed all of our minds. And this series is entitled, Why Am I Here?
Amen.
Just look up toward heaven and say, why am I here?
Why am I here?
Now that's a question we're not asking, why are you here in faith, okay? All right, but why are you here on earth? Amen. This attempts to address the question, what is my purpose in life? Amen. What is my purpose in life? Everybody here is born for a reason and for a purpose that only God can show them and only they can attain. Amen.
Amen.
Look, somebody and say, you're here for a reason.
You're here for a reason.
You're here for a reason. And the problem is that some of us, and I just want to say right here, the text has been read. I don't even know if it gets the text, but I've got to set things up. I've got to set the stage before the text. Amen. This might say, you're here on the right day.
You're here on the right day.
Because these messages, you needed to be here today to understand where we're going with this. Amen. As I was getting alluded to, the problem is that some of us, most of us, don't know our purpose in life.
Amen.
I ain't gonna get no amens
there. Amen.
A lot of us, and I'm not talking about those who are going off to school or going off to college, we got grown folks. Been here 40, 50 years.
Amen.
They still don't know their purpose. They don't understand their significance in life. We did not just happen by mistake, but God sent us here for a reason.
Amen.
Have I got a witness?
Amen.
And so what we're going to attempt to do is address the very infamous question of what's my purpose? But before we can even get to our purpose, you must understand that everybody has been made to solve a problem. Every one of us have been made to solve a problem in life. And when we find our problem, we can understand our purpose. I wish I had a church.
Preach, Pastor.
See, some of us are just drifting along in life, not really concerned about why we're here. We're just living from day to day. But God sent the Bible to let you know you're here for a reason. Amen.
Amen.
You're here for a reason. As you stand to your feet, we're going to read the verse of Romans and the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 12. If you have the King James render, we're going to read it at the time. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we want to just center on for the work of ministry. Somebody say it with me. For the work of ministry. We're going to understand that ministry isn't just for the so-called ministers, but we all are ministers in Christ. Amen? He talked about our Father, it's a preaching time. We ask that you would be preaching as only uses you. Father, open up the hearts, minds, and wills of those who will listen, so that they can be receptive of the word. Now, God, use this your preaching. Father, let your words go from my mouth. I avail myself to be used often now, God. Use this instrument for your very own purpose. Father, we already sense your presence through the expression, so through this preached word,
name of Jesus we pray, say with me, amen.
Amen.
Then you'll take your seats. We're going to look at the listening in for the renowned and lavish for his praise. I want you to pray with me on a topic. Simple topic. I am a problem solver. Say it with me. I am a problem solver.
I am a problem solver.
The thing is, I can't solve the problem until I know what it is. That's for the most part where we're going with this. And to really get an understanding of this, we must go back to the beginning. Somebody say, go back to the beginning. Or we must go back to the book of the beginnings. If you will turn with me to the book of the beginnings, which is what?
Genesis.
We got somebody who reads that. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Amen? What you must each know, as we dive into this scripture, everything has been made. And now the Bible says in chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, I'm going to go back to the beginning. Chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, the Bible says in verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. So God had made everything. And now we see that production, blessing, increase is about to burst forth. But what we must need to know, the Bible says here in verse number 5, and every plant of the field, before it was in the earth, somebody say before.
Before
it was in the earth, and every herb of the field, before it grew, somebody say before.
Before
it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. God held that purposely to rain for a reason. Because if he would allow it to rain, everything would have went to ruin. Come on, somebody, man. That's what I say, it would have been wild.
It would have been wild.
We serve a God of order. God does not like wild things. God loves order. So the Bible says that God planted a garden east and east. Now what you must need to know, we cover our own presumption of what a garden is. You got to get out of your mind. A garden ain't where we plant our sweet potatoes at. Where we plant our garden peas. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And that's not the kind of garden that it talks about. The only difference in a garden and a forest is that one has order. Are y'all with me? In other words, God planted things just so. If you look real close, you'll see the difference that the only thing that makes a forest different than a garden is that it has order. And the only thing that keeps it in order is that it has to be tended.
All right, Captain. Amen.
Come on, somebody. Go with me a little while. I'm trying to get you to understand your purpose. Adam was not formed yet. Why? Because there wasn't a need, but now God needed a manager. Come on, somebody. God needed somebody to manage what he had made. So he held back the rain, because if he would have allowed the rain, everything would have sprung forth. But God don't like wild things. Everything must be done decently and in order. We serve a God of order. That's first and foremost. So the difference in a garden and a forest is that one is kept and one is tended. Can I have a witness in here? God was ready to explode the earth with increase and to explode the earth with growth, but he had a problem, and his problem was he didn't have a manager. Please, somebody say, you were made for a problem. You were specifically made to solve a problem. My subtopic is, I'm going to solve the problem in my corner of the earth. Everybody will be faced with a problem. You got to stop praying that God takes you away from the problem or takes the problem away from you. Your problem could be your ticket to greatness. I don't know if you're following me. Yeah. And can I say right here, if you are an unorganized person, if you are not a person
person of order, resources will not find their way to you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but every now and then, I would have to have spring cleaning, sometimes in a way. Because things will grow, and I went around one time, and I just got rid of all the weeds because it bothered me to see the weeds growing up wild when folks stay at 59-16 Shady View Drive. So I got a weed and I got rid of all the weeds. Why? Because disorder bothers me. We serve a God of order. And check this out. My first point is this. Whatever you fail to manage, you will lose. Have I got a witness? Whatever you fail to manage, you will eventually lose. And check this out. Stop praying for God to bless you with more until you manage what you already have.
Amen.
Some of us go to job. We don't go to job, not job. Let me tell you something. The job is where you go and get paid. But your problem was why you was made. Y'all miss that. Your job is where you go to get paid, but what you was made for, that's your problem. And when you discover your problem, you will be on the road to discovering your grace. God will not necessarily give you what you pray for. He'll give you what you can manage.
Amen.
The reason some of y'all have not gotten married and you still by yourself is because you can't manage your own sin. I miss that. You're praying for a husband when you can't even keep yourself straight. How many know blessings are burdens?
Amen.
Y'all think I'm gonna say
amen?
Children are blessings. But children also are burdens. They look big burdens running around, needing this, and needing that, ain't gonna get no help from you. Stop praying for that which you cannot manage. You are a husband, husband of work.
Amen. Amen.
I gotta be maintained. Y'all never say amen. Come on, somebody. I counseled with my couple this past weekend. I'll bring Gaddy in the counseling, baby. She's gonna run along with me. Sometimes if you won't talk to me, the couples to be wife. Does certain things for her to be husband. Husbands are work. Check this out. God is not going to send a godly man up to a mess.
Amen.
If you already messed up from the fall up, I don't got to send you there. Heaven is an orderly place.
Read the description of John. John says it's a beautiful place of order. God was telling Adam, I want you to make the earth just like it is in heaven. Make this orderly. And the Bible says, and to keep it. Somebody say, keep it. Another word for work is cultivate. Somebody say, cultivate. What he was saying is, I want you to keep it in the same order, but I want you to make it better. Somebody say, make it better.
Make it better.
I want you to make it better than what it is. God needed a manager. Adam got the job. Look at Adam's roof. He had the sky. He didn't stay in the house. He had the sky as his roof. He had the ground as his floor. Come on, somebody. And God was saying, I want you to maintain the resources that I have given you. Then he said to keep it. So I said, keep it.
Keeping
it means protecting, guarding, not only the substance that's within it, but also guard the laws that make it work. That's why you see now humanity having climate control. They're concerned to have our climate control. All of a sudden, after they test the climate up. They're concerned now about oil spills and plastic in the water. So now it's really too late. Now they're trying to adhere to the mandate that God put on man way back in the book of Genesis. And they're trying to maintain the home that God gave. He says, trust it and keep it. In other words, he wanted a manager, a leadership. Leadership dominion over the resources of earth. That's why he made man. So don't you pray for what you can't manage. I said, don't pray for what you know you cannot manage.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
If you can't take care of it, if you can't manage it, you be praying for God to look for promotion, or if you really ask God for is more money. Amen. Learn to manage the pennies.
Amen.
God can give you dollars.
That's right.
Amen. Well, we see a queen on the ground now, we call that a lot. I ain't gonna get no help there yet. You ain't faithful in the small things.
That's right.
Why do you think God won't let you in the large things? Help me preach. You better pick up here.
Amen.
Sign up for it and you'll pick it back. This is the spirit of dollars. When you learn how to manage the dollars, he'll give you hundreds of dollars. When you learn to manage the hundreds of dollars, he'll give you the thousands of dollars. When you learn to manage the thousands of dollars, he'll give you the millions. Preaching, this is just sense. According to the Bible. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Don't take my word for it. I want you to turn with me. If you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke. And for time's sake, Luke chapter 16, verse number 10 says it this way. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust in much. Don't pray for what you cannot manage. And some of us would have been billionaires, we would have had a home on the coast. The more you have, the more you got to worry about.
That's right, Pastor.
I hate it for all of them, but I didn't have a boat on the water.
Amen.
I don't worry about the boat. I don't worry about my house. This is my summer house. I don't have a house down there. I'm not bragging about it, but I'm letting you know. And the more you have, the more you have to be worried about. People who don't have children, you ain't got to worry about praying at night.
That's right, Pastor.
Come on, somebody.
Praise Pastor.
And I also want to say this. The Bible also said, who can despise the season of small things? I want to say, Andy, thank you for my laptop. Thank you for my laptop. I preached to the one that took that laptop. You despise the season of small things. You think I'm going to fetch him with something big?
That's right.
Now, God ain't going to do that. You take my why God gives us a job. God gives us a J-O-B. Now, a J-O-B is part of your faith. He gives us a job to see how we want to handle other folks properly. God gives you a job to see how you're going to handle the company's property.
Amen.
And then he's going to steal an ink pen. Come on, somebody. I don't want their paper clip. But they didn't get it, sir.
That's right.
God gives us a job to see how you're going to handle other people's property. And he ain't going to give you nothing of your own if you can't handle other folks' stuff. Stop getting to work late. He sent me back this. Stop getting the clock in. Be on time, for God's sake. Get there early. Let me tell you why. Because he's trying to see how good of a steward you are from behind.
Amen, Pastor.
Lord, have mercy. So he gives us a job to see how we're going to, don't take my word for it. Look at verse 11. If therefore he has not been faithful in the unrighteous manner, who will commit you, who will commit your trust to the true riches? This is the kicker right here, verse 13. No servant, verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, y'all see that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Who shall give you that which is your own?
All right.
God ain't gonna make them, but you can pray until you blew it
in your face.
Some of us are trained to be trustees. A trustee is a steward. We're not taking care of this nature. Why are you going to give you a house of your own?
Amen.
Now, let me pray a little bit closer. You don't appreciate the apartment you're staying in. Why are you going to give you a whole house? I know you want that Mercedes 530. You ain't taking care of that tenant.
You praying?
You're not praying for what God ain't gonna give you until you start taking care of what you already have.
Amen.
If this makes sense,
yes, sir. Amen.
God was looking a manager. He held back the rain because if it would rain, everything would have been flowing wild. God does not like this order. He is a God of order. And until he got a manager to manage what the resources he had given, he held back the rain. Then he made man and put it in the garden that God planted. Somebody say, God planted the garden.
God planted the garden.
God planted the garden because he wanted earth to look like heaven. Heaven is an orderly place. And he put man there to tend it, to cultivate it, and to keep it. So what was the problem? The problem was God needed the manager. And Adam was the solution to the problem. Moses was the solution to a problem of slavery. David was the solution of a problem called the life. I wish someone would come to the
altar.
Come on, somebody. Joseph was a problem solver because he was an economic genius. My question to you is, what's the problem that you're solving? If you have not solved the problem, if you have not discovered the problem, you're still lost in your purpose.
Amen.
Somebody say, what is my purpose?
What is my purpose?
You will never discover your purpose, but you can learn what's your problem. Stop praying for God to deliver you from your problem. Because your problem might be your ticket to greatness. Lord, have mercy. I've got a witness to you.
Amen.
Oh.
need to bring forth to our corner of the room. We were made to bring order to our corner of the world. Wherever we find ourselves, we were made to bring order, which would establish purpose. That's why the Bible reads in Ephesians 4, verse 11, as I close, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. That is so misunderstood, it's misinterpreted. We think that means that he gave the giftedness of pastor and priest. That's not what it means. What it means is he gave us as gifts to you. God made, look at this, I want you to read it like this. God made apostles, he made prophets, he made evangelists, he made pastors, and he made teachers for the church. And he gave you us for the sole reason, now it's our responsibility to find the giftedness in you. And once we discover the giftedness in you, then you can go back and address the problem. Because there's a problem that only you can solve. Let me tell you something. People think Fort Knox has been the richest place on earth. People think that the banks are the most richest place on earth. People think that Wall Street is the most richest place on earth. Let me tell you something. The most richest place on earth is out there in the grave. Y'all ain't with me. The most richest place on earth is the graveyard, because there's so many unsolved problems. So many unsolved problems, so many unanswered purposes. People should have started businesses. People should have did the Lord. We ought to die empty. We are to die empty. There were so many people, not just that graveyard, our graveyard, but so many people died full of potential that was never reached because they never understood their potential nor their heart.
Amen.
The richest place in the graveyard, we are supposed to die empty. Paul said, I have finished my course.
Yes.
We ought to die when we have finished. When we have emptied ourselves. Solve the problems that our hand was trying to do. And then we can move on. Somebody say, you died empty.
You died empty.
Jesus solved the greatest two problems known to man. He solved the sin problem when he died for the remission of sin. And then he solved that great problem called death when he got up 3 days later.
Yeah.
Said we were afraid of, but we don't have to be afraid of it anymore because we know that we're living to live again. Jesus has already discovered his purpose. His purpose was to solve the sin problem. Listen, I say, what is your purpose?
What is your purpose?
Look at that same verse and say, you will not find your purpose.
Not find your purpose.
Until you discover your problem. Give God a hand clap of praise. How are you in the small things? Who have despised the small things? I want you to just go back and think. When you receive that little piece of candy, did you have that?
Yeah.
As if you had received $1 million.
Amen.
No,
amen, Pastor.
Well, I'm sure y'all would have been up then. You would have hit the lottery. You probably came down here with me to set you up. God is telling you, until you appreciate the small things, he will never give you anything bigger than what your gratitude will allow.
Amen.
Stop praying for God to give you more until you are a good steward of what you already have. God is looking for managers to manage his resources. You only become valuable when you can solve the problem. Y'all missed that. Your value is stowed up in your word as a problem solver. So now when you go back next week to your job, you have to go back with a zeal. When you go back to your home, you have to go back with a zeal. Because I'm telling you, we are to solve the problem in our corner of the world. Whatever that corner is, you ought to be making a difference. I'm going to end you with this story, and I've told it before. Some type of